Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Hey y'all, Scott here. My voice is being artificially synthesized to let you know some great news. The First Podcast is officially back. Naturally, that was kind of obvious since you're literally listening to it right now. But this is also a quick and easy way to fill the first 8 seconds so we don't get demonetized. So I'll take a rare break from my Nintendo showing and welcome you back to the show. Enjoy.
I draw the line at avocados, but fascism, have no ass, TJ. I've checked.
All right, Tristan, you want to take us in?
Okay, intro. Welcome back to the podcast that's been missing for quite a while, but we are happy to reintroduce ourselves. Hi, I'm the host, Lars from Norway, introducing our special guest.
What's up, everybody? My name is Tristan, a.k.a. Spaghetto. I do a YouTube show called Spaghetto Gaming, in which I play 3D Pac-Man for the masses, and I have a lot of subscribers, and a lot of people are very happy with how that channel is going. I post every day, and yeah, go ahead and follow me. And with me, as always, is Jamie.
Yeah, hi, it's me, Jamie, from the Joe Rogan Experience, and I'm the guy that pulls up all of the videos of Bigfoot jerking off while high on DMT.
We didn't even go, 1 minute?
Well, okay,
without...
so monetization is, that's just zero chance of any income from this episode.
We didn't even go 1 minute without jerking off. Okay, I'm proud.
Yeah. Okay, so let me just kind of kick things off, because this is pretty scuffed so far. Okay, so next to my work, there is a McDonald's that I like to go to because it has really cheap diet sodas. The hamburgers fit my macros, and it's right next to work. So it's somewhere I pop in quite frequently. And here's the thing. I have been taking notice of something because it is a specifically American issue, which is that as of February 12th, the last time I was there, they are still playing Christmas music. Now, my question is that ethical?
They're torturing any soul who enters that establishment.
That's kind of what I was thinking. It's like, it's kind of like an Eighth Amendment violation of cruel and unusual punishment for the employees.
That's right, you dirty bitch. Here's your sandwich.
Exactly.
Merry Christmas, you filthy slut.
The thing is, they don't have the excuse of it being part of their shtick. Like, I've,
Synthesized Critical here, just wanted to point something out, since I'm sure you noticed it just now. So, yeah, TJ is going to sound like that the whole episode. There was some sort of glitch while he was recording his audio. Unfortunately, this isn't something we can fix in post. Next time, it won't sound like this. Thank you for your patience.
I'm aware that there's a bar that is, 365, like every day of the year, it's always Christmas themed and they're always playing Christmas music because I think one of the owners of the bar really liked Christmas and then they like died tragically or something, so they just like keep their name as like to honor them. They keep it Christmas themed all year round. Like, I'm not joking.
That took a turn I did not expect. Yeah, Christmas music. This guy tragically died.
So, like, okay, so let's say that each of you were president. Let's say that you could choose whether you're going to draft a bill on this or not. Would you make that illegal?
Christmas music? Absolutely. Well,
actually, yeah. Actually, you know what? Yeah. Actually, yeah. I think it should be illegal. But no, I'm saying, like, up until February at that point. Like, assuming all bets are off, play that, like, two months
death
later.
Death sentence for anyone who plays Christmas music whatsoever. Straight I'm to so deal. Tired yeah. of hearing the same songs every damn year.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really only one song, and as Atlas Geneticist in the chat has gift, it's All I Want for Christmas Is You is... When I say that I don't like Christmas music, I'm talking about that song.
I just don't like Mariah Carey anymore.
Yeah, didn't she get canceled for being, like, racist, sexist, misogynist, and all that?
Oh, I don't care. I want to go on the record. If I had the option to run Mariah Carey over, I would. Just for, all right, just well, for fun.
That's going to make next week's guest real awkward.
Yeah, ooh. we were trying to get that land that Mariah Carey booking, and I think you kind of blew our shot.
Oh shit, let me get in my car.
Okay.
No, you just pull a Joe Rogan where you criticize somebody, and then when you have them on your podcast, you don't you just like kiss their ass the whole time.
It is kind of Kafka-esque, by the way. There's just this idea of, like, it's so American to get to the point. It's like with Thanksgiving, where, you know, like, right, they have the Black Friday stuff that follows it. And the idea is, initially, it was the Friday after Thanksgiving. And you just go in and you buy, you know, your shitty TV. And and then it kind of creeped into, like, oh, maybe on midnight we'll go, you know, have Black Friday sales. And now it's just, like, Black Friday week. And, like, Black Friday month. And I think that's kind of the same thing. You know, it's like, fuck it. Let's just play Christmas music just fucking forever.
This year was literally Black Friday, like, every day of the month.
Black Friday early. Late Black Friday sale. Mm-hmm. Post Black Friday sale.
Just stop. I already got my shitty TV.
Isn't there, like, a North Pole radio where they just play Christmas music all year round?
That is actually a local station here.
Yeah.
Now, when you say local, by the way, Tristan, what are your cross streets? What does local mean?
So my coordinates here. Let me pull up longitude and latitude. I can speak.
For any of you Pokemon Go spoofers, this may be useful information in case you want to trade with Tristan.
Yeah, his address is 308 Negro Royal Lane.
Can you not use that kind of language on the podcast, TJ? Thanks. Anyway, welcome back to the first podcast. Let's get into it.
Do you know what that address is?
Okay. Longitude for my address is -74.102402269999997.
Yeah, I wish latitude and longitude were a little bit more convenient.
Yeah.
I wish it was just like, my coordinates are 4 and 7.
Those are some good ass numbers.
Yeah. So I do have a question, by the way, and this is something that I actually feel like we really should have prefaced the episode with, which is, who are you and what do you do?
Who am I? Yeah, who am I?
Spaghetti.
I ask that question every day. Who am I?
Shut the hell up, TJ. that's a hard question because I've changed so much since I actually really last done content.
Oh, yeah.
That I don't really know who I am anymore.
So I realize that that's kind of a throwaway statement, but that is something that I have also thought about in detail over the last few years, because I don't know if anyone in the audience has noticed, but the show has been gone for some time, and a lot has happened both in the world and personally since then. So I have a bunch of questions about that for you, and I'm not really sure what order to ask them in. But I guess I could start once you're done fidgeting with toys on your desk or whatever it is you're doing.
Hey, cat, shut the hell up.
He's playing with his Legos.
It'd be nice if that worked. Animal, be quiet. And they're just like, oh, okay.
It worked.
Oh, nice. So I guess I'll just start with this, which is, when you've been gone for a while, how do you get yourself remotivated? Like, how do you get back into the swing of things creatively?
You know, Lars, that's something I've really been struggling with over the past couple of years, because honestly, I've been on the precipice of deciding whether or not I want to get back into things creatively. And for a while, I've considered just deleting it all, because I just didn't really know what I wanted to do or what I could be passionate about. And the more and more I let myself slip into the mindset of I'm just tired after getting off work every day, I just don't want to care about anything.
Yeah, it's like, it's going to be a real obscure reference, but if anyone's watched Sherlock, there's a, you know, after Sherlock dies and John just struggles with being able to call, what's her name? Why am I blanking on her name? What's the grandma's name in that show again?
Grandma?
Mama Cunty in the chat? No, that's Karen Carpenter. Yeah, these are some great, by the way, if you want to tune in and give the wrong answers live on air in the chat, go ahead, discord.t1podcast.com.
Is it Mrs. Hudson? Or, because I'm thinking of, because I know, like, the names of, I know the names of, like, Sherlock Holmes characters, but I've never seen that version of Sherlock.
Oh, okay. It is Miss Hudson. Yeah. And it's like a situation where, like, when Sherlock dies, and you have to make that metaphorical call to Mrs. Hudson, it just becomes harder and harder to make that call. I don't know. I kind of got that feeling myself when I was gone, where it's like there's so many times when you want to pick up the phone, but it just like the longer that you wait, the harder it gets to actually do it. And I know that I'm speaking in a obtuse, dorky metaphor here, but I'm actually being serious. I think inertia is one of the biggest issues in content creation in my own life. And it sounds to me like you're saying kind of the same thing.
Essentially, that's exactly how I feel as well. And it's nice that someone else kind of understands that.
So what do we do? Like, what's the answer?
Well, we're both here. We actually are recording, and I hate to say it, but if I wasn't asked to do this recording, I probably wouldn't have ever recorded my voice again.
I mean, that I appreciate the honesty on that. And I think that that's interesting, because I kind of feel like the fact that there are other people that care about this on some level has motivated me as well to kind of try to get back into the swing of things. Because I've been gone, and I've gotten messages from people saying, where have you been, man? Like, we missed the show. What's been going on? And I mean, it is nice. It's like the one thing that keeps you from complete paralysis. I also think that you're saying, you know, us being here and actually doing something, I think that's kind of the same concept of like once you get in motion, it's easier to stay in motion versus when you get out of motion and just have that inertia. It's so easy to just do nothing and just kind of languish and, you know, rot in a corner.
It really is. Life gets in the way. Like, you got home, you're tired, you had a long day. The last thing you want to do is try and put more energy that you don't even feel like you have into something that you used to be so passionate about. And you don't feel like if you have enough of that vibrant energy and entertainment that the content you'll even produce in the moment will be good and no one will want to hear it. You just feel like, oh, I'm just going to make a shitty subpar recording where I'm not as energetic and people are just going to think something's wrong or you're depressed or like what's going on, you've changed. No, I'm just tired. Like everyone loses steam, and that really shows in content creation. If you're just like a single voice or like recording an audio show, and if you don't have that same like sharpness that you always have, they will notice immediately, and they will say something, and then that just makes you even more so want to just put it off and wait till you have like that perfect moment where you feel like you can record it. But there is no perfect moment. Like, we're always going to feel shitty, tired, or whatever the hell is happening in life. And then you'll just put it off forever, because no moment will ever be good enough again to you to want to just jump back into it. You'll just simmer and sit and torture yourself over it to the point where you just want to forget about it. Ignore it. And you just have to take that first step. And now that we're here and we've done that, that's everything else is uphill from there.
Yeah, I do think so. I remember hearing this quote back in the day, and it's a really simple, just little adage about how the things that you do creatively are neither as bad nor as good as you think they are.
We've talked about this statement. Somebody told me one time, they said, when you're performing in anything, it's very rarely as good or as bad as you think it is.
Yeah.
It's usually somewhere in the middle. And I've played guitar live a million times. And there's been shows where I thought I was dying up there. And, you know, people would tape the shows and stuff like that, and I'd get a copy of it.
Yeah.
And it was never as bad as I thought.
Right.
You know, I'm my own worst critic.
And I think in this sense, it's real easy to get trapped into this feeling of insecurity about your content and just think, oh, this, you know what? I came back, but this sucks. But the truth is, like, I've been listening to old episodes of the podcast to get ready for recording again. And I'll listen back on them. And I remember at the time I was always very insecure about myself and how things were landing. You know, are these jokes funny? Is this entertaining to people? And when I listen back on it, like, for example, when I listen back on your first appearance on the show, Spaghetto, that was really entertaining. And I think what we were doing at the time was good content. And I kind of feel like it's the whole thing about just being present that I think I struggled with in the past that I've been trying to do a little bit more lately, which is that I stopped thinking about, like, how many people are in the audience. I stopped thinking about, like, how many views is this episode going to get? What's the reaction going to be? And I just try to actually conduct myself and do the thing and enjoy it. I don't know. That's helped for me. I don't know what's been helping for you.
That's the thing. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Because I'm so hard on myself. And the last live stream I did, someone commented, hey, it looks like Spaghetto put on a little weight. And that just shattered me because I'm like, I'm not the same person. Mm-hmm. I'm getting older. My image is, I guess, slipping away in other people's eyes. And if I'm looking fatter to people, I wonder how I sound, or if I'm not as funny anymore, if I'm not as energetic. Yeah. And I just shut myself in. I stopped taking pictures of myself. I never wanted to put myself back out there because I would be even more hard on myself and never make anything that I would approve.
I hear you, man. Dude, that I could actually really hard relate to what you're saying right now, because I mean, I'm not going to lie. I, like a lot of other people during the panini, you know, the massive health crisis in the country, I gained some weight myself, and I've been working on that quite a lot lately, just as part of my whole getting back into the swing of things ordeal. I decided I was going to take my body as seriously as my mind.
I respect that, and I'm really happy that you're doing that. The only reason I even came on here is I considered you a friend, and if I could even just help remotely a small bit to get someone else out of the mm-hmm. same hole that I'm stuck in, I wanted to just show up and see if even talking to them and relating to them would help, because
yeah,
I loved this show and it got me through a shit ton of work over the past year. Actually, I started a night job that I hated so much and I struggled staying awake. So I played the old episodes that you guys did, and it was something that got me through each day because I was doing a job that I hated and I wanted to just not. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to off myself every night because I hated it so much. I was poor. I didn't have any money, any social life because I was working all night, and I was doing work for people that hated me. And just feeling some sort of connection to something got me through that. And I want you to hear that, Lars, because I've had horrible, horrible health issues over the past few years, and It's gotten better. I've really been trying. Mm-hmm. But that first episode we recorded, I was struggling with anorexia. And I, after the episode, I went into the bathroom and I threw up so much because of the nerves and just feeling terrified and scared of not making a good episode for you. I just was so upset and I was being so hard on myself. And I realized that that was carrying into my health because I was so hard on my own physical form that I wouldn't feed myself. And the longest I went without eating was 3 weeks. And I realized that I was dying. Like, I went from like 175 pounds down to 115 in the past, in literally a month. I lost so much weight that I could hardly move. I was barely sleeping. And I tried really hard to pull myself out of that. And I did. I'm at a somewhat healthy weight now. But now I'm on the other end of things where I think I'm fat. And I'm technically, according to health standards, a few pounds overweight. And it makes me even harder on myself now because I feel like I can't ever come back to recording myself. Because I used to be so thin that it was like an impossible standard to even compare to now that I just feel miserable.
Yeah. By the way, this is the point where if you are actually in the studio right now, I definitely want to give you a hug. I all I can say is just, I can relate so much to everything that you're saying. You know, I've never been through anorexia, but I've had my own issues with, where I'm at on the BMI scale, and it has definitely affected my life as well. And I'm so glad to hear that even one person just listening to the show at all could help, because that's something I thought about it for a while back in the day, and I decided to myself that what I wanted for the show was to address a certain modern feeling that I had gotten. And by the way, people in the chat, stop me if this is like getting a little bit too like deep and depressing, because like I don't want to bum everyone out in like eternally. We can get back to the jokes at some point. But I just had this idea in my head because it was something that I was experiencing. And let me know, guys, Tristan and TJ, if you can relate to this feeling, which is that, okay, let me set the stage. It's 15 minutes before you have to get in your car / bike / on your feet and head to work, okay? And your shift is right around the corner. And you're just sitting there and you're thinking to yourself that you just really don't want to go. And there's nothing you want to do more than just not go in for the day. And you think to yourself, like, okay, if I didn't show up for work today, nothing would really happen. Like, you know, I wouldn't get fired. It probably wouldn't be that big of a deal in the long run. And at the end of the day, like, I would survive. Like, I'd be just fine whether I skipped work tomorrow or today in this scenario. And so, it's not really that big of a deal. But then I kind of just, it would also be making trouble for myself, you know, and I don't want to have to explain why I'm not there. And I at the end of the day, I just decide to go in because I don't have any passion necessarily for what I'm doing, but I do need to make money at the end of the day. So I end up going. And my idea for the show is that for someone in that situation, I just wanted to make something fun for people to return home to at the end of the day. You know, when they're done with that shift, hopefully we can, you know, come out with something good and entertaining and funny for them. So do you guys ever get that? Do you get that feeling?
I do. And it kills me that I've lost that passion for it.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people can probably relate to that. So that was and is my goal for the show. And that's why I did it in the past, and that's why I want to return to it now. And I see in the chat that they have moved on entirely to discussing the medical facts of obesity and body fat. Yeah. By the way, just to make things a little bit more lighthearted, I'm going to just go ahead and say, just because this is where I'm at, you know, in my journey here, I am down 26 pounds as of, I started in January. I'm working really hard on that at the moment. And it's been a hell of a thing for me. And so that's where I'm at with that. And speaking of which, today for lunch, Tristan, I had a salad. And it was pretty good. And my question for you is, what other improvements have there been in terms of veganism these last few years?
That's actually very interesting that you've brought that up, because the insane amount of advancements they've made in plant-based alternatives is just hard for me to grasp, because I remember growing up and literally feeling like I had no options and being bullied for eating the same things. And now that I'm older, everyone's just like, oh yeah, veganism, vegetarian, all these dietary choices are awesome, and they're all like trendy and treating it differently. And I'm like, where were you 10 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like the impossible has become possible. Like, literally.
Burger.
Impossible. Thank you for your contribution, Teej.
Oh yeah, hey TJ, you're still here.
I didn't really have anything to add to the conversation for the last 10 minutes, so I'm just listening.
It's okay. I apologize, everyone. I know that conversation was difficult and awkward. It's just the reality of it, of where we're at. But to answer your question, Lars, like, I would just recommend going and trying like a product such as Morningstar Farms. They make so many interesting alternatives, and if you're really wanting to just see what it tastes like, I would suggest that.
Yeah, I kind of feel like in recent years, I've kind of gone from a point where it's like, oh, veganism would probably suck, to at this point having enough alternatives that's like, I'd probably get by. Like if every cow just kind of said, see you later, and just like disappeared, we probably be okay.
Would you be okay with eating bugs?
Like just picking them up off of like the ground, or
that's kind of the meme, is like, oh, that's what this is the world that the liberals want. They want you to eat bugs and live inside of a pod.
Oh yeah, let's slurp up that cockroach milk.
Sort of like an idea to help mitigate climate change is to like cut down on red meat production and replace supplies of protein by like making foods made out of insects. That's like one thing that's been talked about. And there are people that don't like that. They just want to eat their meat. They don't want to be eating cockroaches.
Yeah, I mean, if I to be completely honest with you, if I had to choose, TJ, I think I would, whether it was either meat or a meat substitute, yeah, I think I'd go for like the tofurkey over the cockroach milk. Yeah.
No, man, you just gotta try it. Break the locust in half and slurp it.
I gotta
be
honest with you, buddy. Like, I didn't know that you could milk a cockroach, and I'm not entirely sure that you can. Is that a thing?
It is a thing, actually.
That's just a bit. Why? You took that from the official podcast from a long. That was from years ago.
Bold of you to assume I listen to any other show besides this one.
Yeah, exactly, TJ.
Yeah, TJ.
The whole roach milk thing.
Oh, you're right. So another podcast discussing something at another point.
Yeah.
That does preclude us, legally speaking, from talking about it. You're right. Yeah, we can move on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Everything's a reference.
Moist Critical's going to sue us.
Hey guys, Moist Critical here. Pee pee poo poo butthole cockroach milk.
Holy shit! Sue you. Is that the Moist Critical?
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Moist Meter.
Why does
everyone
call him Moist, by the way? I always see that. They're like, hey, look, it's Moist. But that's not
his Twitch.
Critical.
That's like his Twitch username, and he has Moist Esports. So if people.
Oh my gosh, is that Penguin Zero?
Yeah. Ooh. No, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's like if you watch Pay Money Wubby, you're not like, hey, it's Pay Money. No, it's Wubby. Like, that's a weird, I don't know. This is like YouTube, Twitcher bullshit, but that's fine.
Okay, this conversation's ass. Let's move forward.
Video game donkey.
Oh yeah, look, it's video game. Video I have more questions, by the way, if you want me to get into them. Or
what?
Tristan, do you want to get into our little plan?
Sure. Something that I would like to discuss is I hate avocados so much. I really do.
You know what? Okay, that's enough of this episode. Let's wrap things up. Thank you for coming on, Tristan.
No, you suck ass.
Why do you hate avocados? That is the first time I've ever heard, I hate avocados. What does that even mean?
I hate avocados. If someone gave me an avocado, I hate them.
What is it? Are they too pleasant? Are they calorically efficient? What do you mean?
They taste like ass.
I'm lost.
Now, have you ever, if that's concerning to you, that, what do you mean ass?
And like trust me, I know what ass tastes like. And avocados don't taste like anything but ass.
Yeah,
They're good, though.
Spaghetto's really flexible.
Then you must like eating ass.
Well, I'm not going to make any statements on that. But is it because they're too buttery? Or you feel like you're worried? Or
Lars.
What, TJ?
Let me tell you a secret. So Tristan doesn't like a lot of foods, actually.
Oh, so you're one of those guys. You're like,
there's a
onions.
He doesn't like cherries.
I like onions.
He doesn't like cherries.
You shut the hell up.
Okay.
I don't like cherry flavored things. Real cherries are good.
Oh, okay.
You just don't like the flavor of them.
Like the artificial
cherries taste like cough syrup, and I hate cough syrup. I don't want to have lean flavored candy, okay?
Okay, hold on. You've touched on something. This has intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes to specifically the cough syrup flavored stuff, I do think that is bullshit. I think you're 100% right. Because for some reason, companies haven't gotten the message that you need to not make your food taste like medicine that we take when we're sick and we associate with like terrible times.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna hard agree with that.
Thank you.
But do you want your medicine to taste so good that you want to keep drinking it? Like, I don't think you want your cough syrup to taste too good.
Or here, how about we just have the medicine taste like nothing? Why add flavoring?
Well, are you doing a funny for the show? Because there is a reason for that.
Okay, go ahead.
Kids.
Okay. Because real medicine tastes terrible.
Yeah.
Like, they try to mask it. That's the thing.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, okay.
I'd rather taste that terrible taste than cherries.
Okay, so what, well, like, So I messaged you like a couple days ago saying, can you bring something that you like and something that you dislike to the podcast?
Yeah.
And your thought was avocados? Like, are you, you're that passionate about
I hate them so much, but there's something I hate more.
Like fascism or what?
No, whatever. Whatever.
No, he doesn't hate fashion. No, fascism is okay.
Oh, you didn't say fashion. You said fascism. I was about to say, no, man, like, I don't mind scars and looking nice. Oh, fashion. The wrong kind of clothes. Okay.
Scarves and looking nice. The key tenets of fascism.
I draw the line at avocados, but fascism,
No, he's going to talk about which minority he likes the least.
Oh, shit. This episode's going to be taken out of context. Woohoo! Yep. That's a All good right. cold open.
Yeah, there it is. Okay.
There it is.
So you said the one thing that you hate more than avocados and scarves.
No, I like scarves. They're nice.
Oh, was that the thing that you're bringing that you like?
No.
Oh, okay.
Continue. Oatmeal. Like, whoever eats oatmeal, why? Why?
Yeah.
What, do you just eat raw oatmeal?
No, I just don't eat it, dumbass.
No, I mean, is that why you don't like it? Because you ate raw oatmeal?
People in the chat are kind of upset about that. Wow.
You know what? No. Whoever likes oatmeal, unsubscribe.
You gotta add flavoring to the oatmeal. You gotta mix it with fruit and other things like that.
TJ, I am white, okay? The only flavor I know is salt, and even that is too damn spicy.
I thought it was mayonnaise.
Ugh.
Wait, oh god. Oatmeal with mayonnaise? Jesus.
Okay.
You man, couldn't even Lars is
first
really,
of all, you
really
can't even
white.
Have mayo.
Lars is really white if he's eating oatmeal with mayonnaise.
No. I was confused because you guys were saying that that's a good thing.
No.
Like I don't. I'm white, but I'm not pleased about it. No, please don't get me. Like, don't get me wrong. It's no. In fact, I actually think if okay. So everyone in the audience, real quick, just close your eyes for a second, okay, and just imagine a bowl of lukewarm oatmeal, okay. Okay, just picture that in your head. Imagine the smell. Imagine the goopiness of it. Okay, now imagine that someone comes by and takes a big spoon and drops just a big glob of mayonnaise inside of it. And then just kind of stirs it up.
That's what my parents' bedroom sounds like.
Now... As you're imagining this concoction, is that not the most foul thing ever?
I'm gonna throw up.
People are like really angry in the chat.
We went from crying to puking. This is a good episode. Holy shit.
God, that's the most vile thing I can think of. Ugh. Also, to be completely honest with you, even if you don't ruin it with mayo, I don't think oatmeal is really up to snuff in general. I don't feel like it's pulling its weight.
Why do you think we feed it to old people? It's because they ruin the economy, so we're going to ruin their taste buds.
That's actually a good game theory.
Well, I just
that
don't
makes
know.
A lot of sense to me.
I don't know anyone that eats plain oatmeal on its own, though. You mix it with other things.
There was a Mr. Beast video recently where it was kids versus adults, and the adults ate oatmeal, I think. Or was that... I don't know. They all kind of blend in to each other at this point.
This sounds like more like one of those React channel, not Mr. Beast. I don't watch either though.
No. Mr. Beast did a video recently where he pitted a bunch of kids against adults because he's like an evil overlord, I guess.
I built two massive cubes so these 100 kids can compete against these 100 adults.
Huh. And it was a good video. Says Ken in the chat said he loved it. I like his I'm sorry. Mr. Beast content. It's nice.
Was he pretty good?
I'm just still nauseous from our imaginary bowl of oatmeal.
Mm-hmm. Was he like trying to make a real life version of like how many 5-year-olds could you take on at once? Like how many of them could you beat up? Like was he doing that where he was having adults
punching 5-year-olds? We get it, TJ. You like to drink whiskey and beat kids. Okay, let's move on.
All right. Okay, I guess you really want it official on the podcast. I understand, TJ, but maybe save it for later, next time.
Yeah, maybe save it when you get home from work and drink some angry juice and you see your family, okay?
Okay, so Lars has established that he's a big fan. He's like Jimmy Beast's number one fan. What did you think of, like, the...
Jimmy Beast?
Jimmy Beast. You ever watch Cold Ones?
Yeah, that's what people call him.
Jimmy Beast.
What do I watch?
Okay. I got Jimmy Beast from Cold Ones. They call him Jimmy Beast or Mr. Breast. Okay, never mind. But that's not the point I'm making. The point I was making.
Wait, I think you may have been the millionth person to say Mr. Breast because it's the funniest joke in the world. It is the funniest observation you could ever make. That is fantastic. Wow. It's
Lars.
We got to change this from the first podcast to the first breast cast.
Yeah.
Can I finish what I was saying?
Sure.
No.
Go ahead.
I want to know your opinion on the whole controversy around Mr. Beast's video where he was like curing people's blindness. Okay, did you see that at all?
Yeah. Okay. This is actually a good point of discussion if you guys want to get into it, because I have some thoughts about that. Are you Tristan, are you familiar with this?
I saw Twitter trending about it, and I just chose to ignore it.
Yeah. So, I feel like it's interesting, because discourse has gotten to a point where someone making a video in which they're healing 1,000 people's partial blindness is controversial. Now, just to be clear, this is comparable to what Jesus was doing in the Bible.
Whoa, okay.
And this is considered
bad. We don't
talk
about politics and we don't talk about religion here, Lord, from Norway.
Our Lord and Savior, Mr. Beast.
No, I can't wait for the Bible too, where it's like, oh wait, no, holy shit, all churches are going to start calling Mr. Beast the Antichrist because his name is Beast and he's performing miracles like Jesus.
This is a bit,
dude. His name used to be Mr. Beast 6000.
This is another.
Where have we heard the number 6 before?
This is a bit. My gosh. This is a cold ones bit because they paid some people on Fiverr to make a video like that about Mr. Beast.
Not everything is a reference, TJ.
I know.
Well, I think to TJ, actually, everything is a reference.
TJ is Family Guy incarnate. Hey, remember the time where they did Fiverr?
Hey, Lois, I'm Mr. Beast. Hey, Lois.
I take it you guys haven't seen this video, though. I'm going to post it in the recording chat.
The recording chat at discord.t1podcast.com. If you tuned into these episodes live, it's been a while since I've said that. You can say stuff like one of our patrons.
Patreon.t1podcast.com. Make sure to support the show. Thank you so much.
Does our Patreon still work? Yeah, it does. Yeah, because there's a patron in the chat now.
The recording chat in Mr. Beast's official Discord server.
Yeah. So anyway, Mr. Beast is the Antichrist. We established that legally. Okay.
Yep. But you know what's worse than the Antichrist? Guacamole and oatmeal mixed.
Oh, yeah.
James Corden.
Yeah, that's foul.
Imagine guacamole and oatmeal mixed together.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's savory on something that shouldn't be savory. I'm with you there. It's kind of like, okay, people. No, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to.
You okay, Lars?
Absolutely not.
You're scaring me. Holy
God. No, Lars, we didn't really explain why people were mad about the Mr. Beast video. We just said people were mad and just left it at that.
I mean, that's a pretty good explanation.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah.
We're just saying, like, they're just mad that, like, the way our healthcare system is, like, why doesn't the government do this? And like, some millionaire, some rich guy has to do it. And then, like, when Mr. Beast does it, he's doing it for to get views on YouTube, like an entertainment value. So he's, like, exploiting people or whatever. Okay. So,
counterpoint, though.
Yeah.
I get the impression that Jimmy Beast is someone who has, like, a mind-shattering orgasm whenever a podcast talks about him.
Yeah.
So maybe we should move on.
Okay. So is there something else you want to talk about?
Oh yeah, there's plenty. Okay. I mean, we can get into the other stuff. But Spaghetti, you said you had something pleasant to bring to the show?
Oh yeah. So if you want to actually, hold on. I have a frog in my throat.
Man, he's not vegan anymore.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Eating frogs. Sorry,
I keep laughing and crying too much in this show. Okay. So something pleasant.
Yes, dear God, please.
Over the course of the last few months, have been waiting anxiously for this game I pre-ordered. And now that it's finally come in the mail, I'm so happy. And like, yes, I could have played this game digitally, but I wanted the special edition before I played like it on my PlayStation 5. Yes, flex. I don't care.
Dead or Alive Extreme Volleyball.
Excuse me.
On a serious note, though, I just got the Leviathan edition of The Binding of Isaac Repentance, and oh my gosh, I love it so much. I've played the game. I played it a bit growing up. My parents forced me to get rid of it because of obvious reasons. They're religious, and the game is very anti that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to have it back in my life and really just get into the intricacy of like how the game works, the items, and kind of relate to the themes of it as well. So I love that so much.
Yeah. To be clear, isn't it like kind of a biblical game though? I'm confused. Why would they be upset? The Binding of Isaac is literally a tale from, I think, Genesis, right?
Well, from what I know of the story of The Binding of Isaac, it's not literally telling the stories from the Bible. It's just referencing stuff from the Bible.
Well, the Bible's not literally telling. It's allegorical as well. So that's, why is that a bad thing?
I don't know if I want to go down this rabbit hole or not.
Okay.
Well, it's because, like...
Well, we don't. We were trying to be positive here for a second.
Do you know what the plot of The Binding of Isaac is?
Yeah, it's a...
Nope, yeah, sorry, banging my things.
Yeah, because he hears a message from God saying you need to...
Or, no, the game, not the Bible story.
Yeah, it's been like 5 years since I played it, though.
So, the actual plot of the game is Isaac is being abused by his mother. His dad can't deal with her being crazy and religious anymore, and he leaves the family. And then Isaac hides in his chest because she's like screaming at him and blaming him, and he sees her as a monster, and she starts like abusing him even more, and then he starts living inside of his own imaginary world where he's just traumatized and upset and seeing like all these crazy, demonic, crude depictions of the Bible that he thinks are evil. And one of the bosses in the game is actually the lamb, and it's like this most horrendous looking corpse thing instead of what it actually is in the Bible, which is referencing Jesus Christ. But in his head, he feels damned and like a monster. So he sees Jesus as like some creepy monstrosity instead, and he suffocates while hiding in his toy chest and dies and technically ascends into heaven or wherever you go in the afterlife. And then after he ascends, there's just nothing. It's pitch black and he's just gone.
Yeah, it's not really like the happiest storyline in a video game.
Yeah, I wonder what was going through Edmund's head with that. Because
he grew up in a very religious family as well.
Yeah.
There used to be a lot of drug addicts, and then they suddenly turned like extreme Christian Pentecostal, and it was very suffocating for him to be around, which is a big reason why I'm a huge fan of his, because it's something I kind of relate to.
Yeah, because like when we had him on the podcast, I felt like he was kind of happy-go-lucky, I guess. So that's interesting how some of the most maddening content can come out of some of the people with the wackiest personal personalities. I don't know if that's the best way to put that.
But yeah, I love the game. It's really cool.
Yeah, it was good when I played it. I remember, no, I don't. Why am I even bringing that up? So
remember the time.
Well, Edmund's like, he's working on a new game, which I think he talked about when he was on here last, which is that Mugenics game. Like he's actually, that's the next game he's coming out with, which is like it's like a Pokemon-esque game where you breed like these weird mutant cats or whatever.
Oh yeah, cat inbreeding. I'm so stoked.
Yeah, it's like...
Take that out of context. Ooh. Did he ever actually come out with that?
No, he's about to come out with it.
Next year.
Oh, okay.
It's like, yeah, you're just like just breeding all these, like just like a large horde of cats, and you just go out and it's almost like a life sim, like sort of like, I guess like Tamagotchi mixed with Pokemon is how I would describe it.
Okay. TJ, have you been playing any games yourself recently?
A little bit, yeah.
Such as?
I mainly just do a lot of like party games with people whenever they do like a game night or whatever. I've been thinking about delving more into games because I do have like more spare time now. So I'm just gonna start slow with it because I've been so out of it for a while. I'm not particularly great at video games anymore. So,
I can tell. Do you guys have this thing? This is something that I've been experiencing a lot lately, which is that I don't really know how to have fun properly anymore. Like, I feel like I just burn all of my, after work, I just burn all of my spare time on stupid bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll just.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay. So you don't want to be committed to anything. So you do really, really superfluous, like time filling things where you just watch random short videos on YouTube or TikToks, or you play like a game that has no substance. Like I've suddenly gotten into playing Fortnite because there's no commitment, no story. You just jump into it, you shoot some people, and it was over just as quick as it started.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big reason why I've gotten into The Binding of Isaac, because it's short, quick, but you can actually make progress. But each time you play, it's just like a quick reset and it's not super committing.
So is that a bad thing, or is that just kind of how it goes? Because I hear this from a lot of people that like there's a part of them that wants to kind of reclaim the glory days of their 16-year-old self, you know, when they were, you know, a nice prime teenager that, you know, just played video games all day. But it's kind of also just what happens. Like, I come home after work and I'm tired and I go exercise anyway because I'm trying not to be a fat ass. But then when I'm done with that, it's like, I don't know, I just want to go to sleep. And that's not necessarily bad. That's just kind of how it goes. Like, I don't feel like
that is how it goes. Yesterday was my Friday, mm-hmm. and I went to bed at 7 p.m. and I woke up around like 9 or 10 today. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. I look forward to literally sleeping in now. I cannot wait to sleep now that I'm old.
Mm-hmm. But is that a bad thing? Or is that just, again, is that just how that goes? Like, I don't know.
I think we thrive off the aspect of not having to worry just for a small portion of the week. So
mm-hmm.
the best way we could avoid worrying about anything is just sleeping.
Yeah, I hear you. But here's my question, I guess, because this is kind of like tying it back to...
Oh, hey, there's a train going by.
Did you tell it we were doing a podcast right now? I mean, this is not a really good time.
All right, train, shut the hell up. All right, we're good.
Oh, Australian train, I think? Is that what you were going for with that? I couldn't tell.
I don't know anymore, okay. Man. I'm...
The train was... Oh, yeah, jump scare warning.
When you get cats, they scare the shit out of you.
Well, I mean... The train is like, you told me to shut up, buddy.
It just comes right through my house. Mm-hmm. It just ran a train on me.
Ooh, sex.
Ooh, sex jokes. There you go, chat. There's the funnies you were asking for. No more sad, just sex.
Just to kind of bring it back, by the way, which is, I have a question for you, Tristan. You're right, buddy?
I'm just looking at chat.
Oh, it's pleasant.
I love sec. It just caught me so off guard. I'm really sorry. I know this is a train wreck.
Yeah, speaking of which, that is kind of like the most virgin thing you could say is I love sec, like to misspell sex in that situation. So here's my question. Let's say that tomorrow, for whatever reason, your channel blows the fuck up and you suddenly find yourself with 1 million subscribers and you could suddenly find yourself viably able to do this as an option full time. Would that be something that was of interest to you? Or do you think that you've actually moved on?
That's something I'd really need to ask myself.
Mm-hmm.
I personally would try to attempt it just because I don't like disappointing people.
Okay.
But since I'm not as big as that, I don't have a large amount of people to disappoint because there's so many other things they could entertain themselves with. But if that many people were super loud in my head all the time, wanting more of just me existing, then it'd be a really tough decision to make.
It is interesting that existing has become a profession as of late. Just people being themselves and pointing a camera at it. That's something that we just haven't had for most of human history. Well, I guess in some ways we have. Like, if you were an entertainer in the old sense in the past, then, yeah, like if you're Elvis or something, then mm-hmm. your job could be basically just to be Elvis. But it's strange having seen that evolve over my lifetime. Like, I know that a decent amount of people would literally just love to be able to do that, where that's their thing, is I exist on the internet and people watch that and they give me cash. I'm kind of describing OnlyFans at this point. I didn't mean it like that.
Wait, oh my gosh, we're just all prostitutes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Woo, baby!
Yeah.
Circle back around to sex. There you mm-hmm. go.
Sexjokes.t1podcast.com. I don't know. It's weird, man. Like, I see a lot of people, especially with TikTok, is this concept of just everyone wanting to be a creator. And that's kind of their goal for their life. And I don't know. That's weird to see.
Dude, if I said that as a kid, I would be beaten up and called some not nice words that I cannot say on recording.
Well, that's, I mean, that's, I'm sorry to hear that, but,
I'm serious. That was the kind of, that was the kind of reality it was for me growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I was literally beaten up because I was vegan and came from out of state, and they would bully me and call me the gay kid, quotes, but not nice words.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, that's not very creative.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the gay kid. Like, that's not ever, like, if you're trying to insult someone, it's
literally, their insults would be, ha ha, I bet he has a boyfriend. Ha 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 ha.
Good one.
So smart.
That is kind of a funny insult if you think about it. Like, oh, yeah, he has a he has a successful relationship with someone.
I bet he's in a loving marriage with his husband. What a loser.
Anyway, so yeah, TikTok bad, I guess, is my main point here. TikTok's bad.
So, gentlemen, how long are we going for before I kill myself with all these jokes?
Well, in that case, maybe we should keep going indefinitely. But yeah.
So if you were an entertainer in the days before the internet, like pre-internet, would you be like the sad clown? Like, you have to, I don't know, you guys are like really depressed, but you have to like make people laugh all the time. You know, like Pagliacci. Well, but
TJ, listen, you don't even have to try to be a clown, okay?
What?
Wow. I think you just wow. I think you just game ended him there. How's he ever going to recover? No, but TJ, do you have something a little bit less depressing? I feel like this entire episode has been just like tears.
I'm trying so hard to, also literally when we were discussing earlier, I did shed a couple tears, not going
to
lie.
Yeah, no, like, and also just wanted to say, I really appreciate you being honest here. Like, I would much rather you actually say what's on your mind at the moment than just have some sort of,
well,
like,
if we're being honest, I don't know why I'm here other than I just wanted to help you and be a part of just that first step. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy that it seems like we're actually getting into the swing of it towards the end of the recording, which is ironic, but that's how it always goes. Yeah. And
that's pretty typical.
This is the first good laugh I've had in a while because on Monday I got the news that the job I've been training for and trying for the past 6 months denied me after me getting to the final step. So it's nice to do this.
Yeah. No, but what I was going to just say though is that I was watching an Eddie Burback video recently in which he talked about kind of the state of late night television both before and after the pandemic. He actually released a couple of videos about this. Good creator. I highly recommend going to check those out. And he talked about the concept of how late night TV is just not real. It's just people, these celebrities coming on to answer pre-scripted questions and give pre-scripted answers in return. And so like when I'm podcasting, I don't want to do that. I want to have people come on the show and actually, you know, show me who they are and tell me what's on their mind. What are they up to? How do they feel about the state of things at the moment? And, you know, where they think they're going and reflections on where they've been.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, I do have a question on my list that I was going to ask you. And I'll go ahead and preface this and say that we can cut it if you don't really know, because I don't know how much you keep up with the landscape of YouTube since you haven't actually released all that much lately. But if you can answer it, what do you think about the current state of the platform? Like, just how it's going in 2023. Are you hopeful for it? Do you think
not at all? It is so scrubbed.
So since you guys were on the topic of YouTube, did you see the news today that Susan Wojcicki is stepping down?
Yep. Yeah, I saw that.
As the CEO.
So I don't know. I always got the impression that Susan was kind of just like a bit of a scapegoat. Like,
yeah,
I got the impression that she was the person who was hired to be blamed for all of the unpopular decisions that were surely decided by a committee, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. Like, I never thought it was solely her, like, you know, puppeteering
everything.
She was just
literally an icon, kind of like how the queen...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot the queen died. the queen was,
yeah, can't reference
was
her
an
anymore.
Icon.
The king, the king of England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, but, like, is that... So, but why do you think that, Spaghetto?
Well, people in their nature literally want to be angry at something if it goes wrong. And if you have a face to blame, then that face is going to be blamed, and they're going to be more bad. They're going to be more mad at the person, essentially, mm-hmm. and a little bit less mad at the platform, in my theory.
I guess so. But you said that you don't have much hope for the platform in general.
No, it just seems like everyone now has gotten to the point where it's being played so safe mm-hmm. that YouTube just seems fake and scripted, like late night TV.
Because I don't think it's going to change at all. I mean, like the meme that I see people that keep on posting is that scene from Megamind where the mayor sees Titan and he's like, "Oh, you freed us." And he's like,
"Oh, I wouldn't say free. More like under new management."
Like that scene.
Remember the time when Megamind...
Hey, Lois.
You know, I'm thinking about, like, I think I might be regretting a little bit of my decision of coming onto this episode, so...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Do you want me to contribute something?
Yeah, no.
The piss, I'm sorry.
Yeah, please do, TJ. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, the point I'm trying to say is, like, even though someone else is going to take her place, it's just going to be the same shit, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And that's a great point. And even though I was messing with your analogy, like, it is a really good example of what's happening. And it's not going to get better. It's probably just going to stay the same or decline even more. That is what happens when you take something that was for the people. And it grows so much to where it's become a corporation and an entire empire. And it's going to never, ever be the same or what we used to have and enjoy because it's not personal anymore. It's an entire company. And it's a big example that I can give is what's happened to Smosh. It's literally just scripted corporate chill where everything is just a big business and they have actors and it's not just two guys making fun comedy sketches anymore.
Yeah, okay. So I think I've mentioned this before, by the way, but the moment that Anthony Padilla went back out on his own, like literally the first video that he released was really funny. Like the one where he did the Pokemon Pikachu sketch. I don't know if you guys saw that. Like, I feel like that was a sign of the times, man, where it's like the moment that he broke free from corporate oppression, that he became an interesting creator again. And now he's kind of found his niche as a separate creator that kind of represents that whole thing in general.
Yeah, didn't Ian Anthony get like really screwed over with like the rights to Smosh because of like the company that they sold it to and they just, I'm not too knowledgeable about it, but I remember there was like a whole thing about like how they just basically lost control over it for a while.
For literally $0.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Shade in the chat mentioned that. I don't know. I also kind of, at the end of the day, though, I do have kind of a counterpoint, which is that when I come home, the one thing I'm probably going to do if I do nothing else is watch YouTube. Like, it's still kind of my go-to for entertainment these days. I feel like it has successfully supplanted the other forms of entertainment for the most part. I haven't been really pleased with how Netflix has been going. I don't subscribe to Hulu and I don't watch cable TV. I don't even remember what that is, to be honest. I think it was a thing at some point. So it's a shitty, there's things about it that are really crap and really corporate. But it's still kind of the one thing that I do every day besides like eating poop and sleep is watch YouTube. So there must be something to it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like there are a lot of soulless creators, but not, there's still a lot of people that I follow that are posting really, really good stuff. Like, I watched a video the other day by someone named, what was it called?
Ryan's Toy Reviews.
Yeah, Ryan's Toy Reviews. And
EDP.
He's getting a little old for
not?
It.
Okay. Can we not?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Let's not.
I'm sorry.
No, there's this creator called Buttered Side Down.
Yeah.
Who makes these crazy videos where he just films himself in his tiny apartment and, like, he'll, like, the most recent one was called Making Ice Cream. Mm-hmm. And he raises a bowl of ice cream from, like, birth to running off to college. And I don't know. There are still people out there that are really making really good stuff like that. There's passion still there on the platform. It is just in contrast to a lot of the corporate shit.
That makes me think of my original, or one of the original points I made, where now that we're adults, we just like short term entertainment that's non committal. And I think that's a big reason why you go to YouTube.
Yeah. Although I do still think, go ahead, TJ.
No, that's not important.
Go ahead, TJ.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, I still feel like 20 minutes is like the sweet spot for me though. Like I don't know.
No 8-hour videos for you.
Well, yeah, if I want to watch The Right Opinion, I will sometimes.
Hey guys, welcome back to The Daily Wire.
Quentin Reviews is a 8-hour retrospective on iCarly.
You know what, man? He's making stuff that he clearly wants to make. Yeah. Like he's found his niche, and I don't care to watch, like, you know, part of an entire day's worth of iCarly content, but if it makes him happy.
Justin, why are you watching The Daily Wire?
Well, you see, hypothetically, of course, it is the greatest YouTube channel to ever exist because it is The Daily and it's on the wire and you cannot beat that. Okay. Thank you.
Were you more of like a Ben Shibibo guy or Matt Walsh or Jordan Peterson?
Oh, dear Lord. Okay.
Okay. I mean, if you don't want to go down that rabbit hole, I was going to mention something that Clef in the chat brought up we were talking about, Stress brought up Smosh. Have either of you ever watched Ghetto Smosh?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Well, if I were to describe it, it's basically...
Is this going
to
be racist?
Just go.
Okay,
just go,
moving
just
on.
Go, just go check out, just look up Ghetto Smosh and see what I'm talking about.
TJ wants us to watch racism. Continuing. Oh, good old TJ trying to get us canceled, you little scamp.
Wait, can he even be racist? Because he's... I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah,
Lars, it's just old.
This is our first episode back. Shut up.
It's just a channel that dubs over old Smosh videos.
And guys, thank you for this great first banger of an episode. There were sad times, there was happy times. But this is a good note to close on. Good old racism.
No, it's just Ian and Anthony are stoners. That's basically what it is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, all right, go check that channel out, I guess. Hopefully I won't regret saying that at some point.
Ooh.
Tomorrow they make the most fascist video.
Well, you said you were neutral towards fascism. Spaghetto, so.
Fashion!
Okay. Well, if you watch them and you don't like it, you can blame the Beef Boys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I blame them for everything, so that's fine.
So, how long do we want to go for, though?
Oh, I was thinking we'd probably wrap up in the next, like, 5 minutes or so.
Okay.
Okay. I'm fine.
Unless there's anything else you guys really want to get to.
Wasn't there some stuff you wanted to talk about in the setup where you were telling me, like, to hold on to it because it was an interesting conversation?
What was that? I forgot what
that was. You were talking about AI stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I feel like, is an episode in itself.
Okay.
Next time, let's do it.
Yeah, because I'll just preface it this way. If you're listening to this and you haven't heard of something called stable diffusion, go ahead and look it up.
Okay, I'll prepare for the next episode.
I kind of want to talk about, like, what was kind of concerning me. That in regards to how far we've gotten with voice cloning, where there's stuff now to where you can basically just make near perfect replicas of people's voices, and it's kind of hard to tell that it's artificial. Like, have you on Twitch? There's a stream. How do I describe this? There is a streamer on Twitch whose streams have been popping off, where like he's a World of Warcraft. He was like a World of Warcraft streamer, but he's been doing stuff recently where he's been working with a team to recreate different streamers and other internet personalities as AI, where it has like deep faked video and like voice, their voices are cloned and they have like ChatGPT like creating the characters. I think it's ChatGPT, I'm not sure, but basically the guy like interviews, like he'll like interview AI PewDiePie, AI Mr. Beast.
What's up, everyone? My name is Mr. Beast, and I'm secretly laying the groundwork for a fascist takeover of the United States of America in 2026.
And it's really weird.
I thought you were going to talk about the Seinfeld stream.
Oh, the Seinfeld stream? That was interesting, too, but that channel got, I think it's banned on Twitch, though, because there was, like...
Yeah,
because
it got, like, transphobic or something.
It was making, like, kind of a meta joke about people making transphobic jokes, and like it sounded like it was transphobic, so that's why I wish I could banned.
I wish I could do that in my life. Like anytime I'm offensive, I could just be like, no, I'm just making a meta joke about someone being horribly racist.
That was poor timing for you to say that, Lars.
Wait, what?
Talking about transphobia, and Lars is just saying, oh yeah, I wish I could do that.
No.
People were making memes about like how it was AI Jerry's Laugh Factory moment.
Mm-hmm.
You get that reference?
Yeah. What word did he use, Michael Richards?
What a fucking asshole.
What was the term in question, TJ?
It's what Spaghetto's favorite word is.
Oh, okay.
He knows all about
it. Leave that to the imagination. Which N-word that he likes, but yeah.
Norwegians.
Yeah, but Norwegians.
The channel I was talking about is called Athene, and I just posted it in the chat. That's like one of the videos that came out recently.
Who's a good Mr. Kitty? Yeah.
And I watched the one where he had like an AI version of Amaranth, and my god, it was just... It was some of the shit's like really funny, like when they like especially like AI Andrew Tate just sounds exactly like Andrew Tate, and it makes me think that Andrew Tate isn't a real person but an AI. Like it's almost indistinguishable from the real one. Why do you have...
No, Mr. K! No!
Okay.
Ow! No! Ah!
What? What just happened? Okay. All right, well, check out Athene Wins on YouTube, I guess. I think Spaghetto just died on air. That was a weird moment of podcasting. Okay.
And that's a good way to end the episode.
Yeah, I think so. We can get into AI in a future episode of the show, because that's a whole rabbit trail in itself.
That is something I would love to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, because it's such an interesting topic. Mm-hmm. We should do a segment where we like try and auto generate some AI audio and see how that goes.
Okay.
Yeah, we can have like fake interviews, basically.
Let's interview Ben Shapiro.
That's actually a good idea. Like instead of just bothering to record these episodes, just kind of make
AI.
Them.
There we go.
Yeah. I can make AI Lars and it'll just fill in.
Mm-hmm. Why is it that every AI ever turns into like a Nazi white supremacist? Why is that a thing? Why is it the end of like? It's really disturbing.
Because it looks at our history and it decides to become human.
Ooh.
Yeah, we could have like racist Lars.
Isn't that just regular Lars? I'm confused.
Wait, are you racist?
Sorry, I was clearing my throat.
Next episode, let's go.
You're outing yourself, man.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure to like and subscribe. In. Comment down below what you thought of this episode. And as always, I will see you in the next video.
All right. Speaking of which, by the way, Spaghetto.
Spaghetto. I forgot my lines. This is scripted, right?
Right.
Oh, the AI is broken.
Okay. So let's say that not just necessarily for current releases, because there aren't any at the moment yet. But if people wanted to check out your stuff in general, how could they do that?
YouTube.com/Spaghetto. Make sure to check me out, see what I'm doing. Not much, other than I've been working on a project for a number of years. It's called Doki Doki Branching Paths, where it's a fully original story with new characters, and we are going to be releasing that within the next few weeks.
I think we forgot to talk about that entirely.
Yeah.
So, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay.
But it's fun. It's a drama slash like high school type story where I just wanted to express myself and show that there are people being bullied, and just kind of have my own modern take on it.
By the way, guys, mm-hmm. if you are a fan of Doki Doki Literature Club, Tristan's channel is kind of a treasure trove for that stuff. So I would actually highly recommend checking it out. Like that's a gold mine if you're into that kind of Renpai-esque kind of thing. Just saying.
If you want to participate in chatting with us live, by the way, t1podcast.com.
Yeah, come to the Discord.
Discord.t1podcast.com. Make sure to check us out.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
And if you want more Spaghetto content, go to onlyfans.com/spaghetto.
All right. I'm tired of y'all's shit.
Jesus. Okay. Yeah. Hey, guys, just to cut with the weird jokes about the podcast is back. And I'm going to go ahead and just kind of leave it at that for now, because there's a lot of stuff for it in the works. And there are a lot of people who are going to be coming through when we get going for the rest of the month and such. But I don't want to spoil it yet. So just suffice to say that things are going to continue now. And I'm glad that you guys are here for the ride. And look forward to seeing us again in the near future, because this time we are back for good. So thank you, Spaghetto, for joining us today.
Of course.
Thank you, TJ, for kind of joining us today. And yeah, we will see you guys in the future. This is Lars signing out for the first podcast.
Good night, everybody, and always stay safe.
TJ, this would be your TJ.
What?
This is, can you say what? Goodbye?
Oh,
never mind.
All right. No. Yeah. Bye. Yeah.
Okay. Good night.
Yeah. Look forward to Joe Biden being on the podcast in the next few weeks.
Okay. That's a check we cannot cash, like at all.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.